was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541. Should've used.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's King at Jerome. He's Ski at TSB Ski. I was telling you guys earlier, I'm playing a little bit hurt today because my child, with a week left of school, is sick, and she somehow got me sick. Ski and I were talking about this like before we started. Like, Ski, you haven't been sick in like since COVID started, right?
Yeah, it's been fucking amazing.
I was saying I have been, but it was like a small one. I missed like one day of work. Like, it wasn't even really that bad. But
I used to get like head colds maybe once every couple of months. My sinuses suck, yeah. Especially when I get like sinus infections and shit bad. So it was like any other shit gets in there. I was sick for, you know, 3 days of, like a head cold all the time.
You know what used to happen for me is it would come off of allergies. And so like I would start sneezing a whole bunch and then I would get sick based off of that. But I'm masking up everywhere I go now. Pollen's not getting in me. Like, I've been fucking great. And then she,
like I said,
she caught a normal ass cold in the last week, like runny nose, sore throat, coughing all the time. And I started work this morning, was feeling a little bit of twinge. And then as the day goes on, I'm just like, oh, this is not going to end up well. Hammering those airborns, the Fred Meyer brand airborns all day
just
long.
The vitamin C pill is all.
Yeah, I'm made of vitamin C at this point. So, but we're gonna get through this, guys.
What's your favorite vitamin C song?
It's a good attitude going into it. Vitamin C.
I couldn't name a vitamin C song.
Oh yes, you can.
I'm trying to think.
They had, what was it, one hit they had that I...
Was vitamin C a group or was it just one person?
This guy asks us our favorite vitamin C song, doesn't even know who vitamin C is.
I do. I just...
Was that a song they played during like graduations and stuff? Is that vitamin C?
Isn't that a rapper? I thought it was a rapper.
I don't know. Was vitamin C a rapper? I don't think so. I think, I don't know. Ski's on that.
You should probably Google it because you're the one who brought up their name.
whoever
the hell it is.
Okay. I mean, maybe we can pivot off of vitamin C talk, but maybe not.
This is kind of like a graduation song, right?
100% right? Is.
Absolutely. Right, yeah.
So this has to be your favorite vitamin C song.
What's the name of this song?
Graduation.
Is that what it's actually called, too?
This is bringing back some memories.
That's amazing. No, because I'm older than 25, so the song's out of my range, I think.
It absolutely is not.
How old is that song?
It was my graduations. Like,
was it really?
Yes.
Like 01, then? Early 2000s?
I gotta be honest, I have no memory of this person or these people. Oh, no. Oh, that song!
Been together as our lives change from whatever.
Could you imagine? By the way, we're about to get sued if we keep playing this.
Yeah, I'm turning it up.
Vitamin C would be the only one that would flag us and sue us for playing a vitamin C song.
Absolutely. They're trying to get their, I don't even know, one person, they're trying to get paid like 30 years after the fact here. So they are sweeping the internet for all plays, 100%. They're going to get paid. All right.
What I loved about that vitamin C song,
I was going to say they created a song specifically for graduation.
Yes,
like they wrote, recorded.
It was marketed in every market in the United States. Like in Eugene, it was like they'd play that song. You know, like probably Valerie Steele at the time. You know, would at
Barry
the
McGuire.
End, they'd be like. Every high school would have like 10 people on the recording. They'd be like, as we go on, North Eugene Highlanders, for whatever, Mary Spartans will still be, Springfield Millers, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, it's good times.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Good for them, though. They got that Their one hit was a graduation song, and that was sort of all they needed. Good for them. You should look up what they're doing now. You should look up Vitamin C 2022. That's all. That's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not feeling well. Let's just talk about vitamin C.
Well, vitamin C's net worth is $9 million. So
hell yeah.
We can mock the as we go on Churchill Lancers. Yeah. Hey, good for her. Good for her.
Graduated to a pillow full of Skrilla. All right. Let's
you bigger
talk
fan of vitamin C or vitamin D?
Depends on the day, I guess.
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby. Borderline erotic. Shall we start with basketball? There are a couple of quick baseball things I figured you guys would want to talk about.
I did watch the Oregon Regional in
track.
Louisville.
This is a track school, so. All right, we'll talk about track. What do you got? Track takes.
Mike Williams, he's fast. The 4x100 team didn't qualify. They lost by like a hundredth of a second. That's got to hurt.
Did you really just say Mike Williams? Like
Micah Williams. Okay, you don't know who Micah Williams is?
I know who Micah Williams is, yes. I was like, Mike Williams? Dude, there's like 80 Mike Williamses.
There's probably 1,000 Micah Williamses too, by the way.
Yeah, probably. I do know who that is, though. All right, that's it?
It's really... if Oregon baseball could combine this historic offense with the George Horton pitching, it'd be great. But it doesn't quite work that way, apparently.
Yeah, Oregon baseball and softball just whimpered out, man.
And softball, that's a weird one. Because there's still people transferring out, like,
yeah,
at a decent rate. I know transfer stuff is different now than it was even, you know, 3 years ago. I won't count 2020 because of COVID, but it's a whole different game. But man, Melissa Lombardi, I don't think she's right for this region.
You know what? I was just going to say that because I remember when she got hired and I was like, she is very different from Mike White. Like, just socially, she's, you know, borderline annoyingly religious, which I know there are a lot of high school athletes who are also annoyingly religious. So I know
all glory to God.
Yeah. I mean, there, and a lot of them play softball. So
ATG.
I get it. It is what it is. But
all crazy.
But if, you know, so you had that initial wave of transfers after Mike White left, but mostly because Mike White left and a few of them followed him.
I thought there was about five or six that left purely because of her.
Yep. Yeah. And they went to, like, one of them went to San Diego State, like one of their really good pitchers. Like, they just went to schools where she wasn't, basically, it seemed like. And so, you know, now we're having players come in here to play for her, and then they're actually hanging around her. We, by the way, could be talking completely out of my ass here. Like, I don't know. I'm not there. I don't know. But, like, if you're having players go there and then leave, maybe they're like, you know, I'm having to actually spend a lot of time with this person. And she's fucking kind of annoying, dude.
Like, well, I thought it was that big group of, you know, like, five or six that left, that, like, stayed and then left when, you know, she came here. I thought a lot of it was, I think she had maybe like restrictions on like what kind of clothes they can wear.
Yeah,
and
right.
Like how late they could stay out, and like real kind of like authoritarian like rules for college athletes. It's like that
Mike White
fly.
He was like, "Fucking win. We're gonna have fun. You know, don't be stupid, but love who you're gonna love." Do what you're going to do. Like, you know, we're going to go win some Pac-12 championships, baby.
Well, did the softball team lose?
Except in a New Zealand accent. All of those things. Yeah.
Did the softball team lose what, like 12 straight this year? Didn't they have a little run where
they just like,
and they were still in the top 25.
Yeah.
Yeah, for like
that was the magic of the Pac-12. That was some like SEC like
football right there. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you lost Alabama and LSU, but you move up in the ranks.
Pac-12 was very good this year.
Absolutely. It always is.
Yeah.
And they were, I mean, they were a fine team. And they should have made, you know, should have made it, but them losing in the regionals completely expected. But what I didn't get was the baseball team.
Yeah.
So I think I mentioned this last week was that if they had just won like one game in the Pac-12 tournament, but definitely two, they were hosting just off the strength of the conference. And none of us are like dissecting John Kasavich at bats or anything. Like we don't watch it like that. They were not a host worthy team. No way.
Not like I said, I maybe watched four innings all year. But just looking at numbers and stuff, their pitching just fucking stank. Well,
no, because they came out, you know, their first like game was some random tournament in, like Maui, and they were already doing the opener thing.
Yeah,
you know, like game one of the year, and you're already being like, yeah, like, we're doing openers. You know, someone who can close the gap. Yeah. And we'll piecemeal it from there. It's like, ah, all right.
But whatever. They were dropping dick back then.
They were dropping dick.
That sort of fizzled out towards the end of the year.
I mean, they still could score runs.
Well, everything at the end, though, was sort of trending in the opposite direction of the way it's supposed to be. So, like, the pitching sort of stopped and the hitting, you know, wasn't terrible, but it wasn't what it had been.
How many Oregon baseball players can you name from this year?
Jimmy Sherfie.
Zero.
John Kasavich. Kasavich? I don't know. Kucinich? John
Kucinich?
That's the only one I can name. Big baseball fan.
Cole Irvin.
Yeah.
Cole Irvin.
Tyler Anderson.
Tyler Anderson.
Cole Irvin is a pitcher for the A's. And the last few years, he has been so fucking good, but every time he pitches, they don't support him at all. It's craziness, man. I think he's been injured too, but like last few years, he has actually been a good pitcher. He's like a big lefty, got good movement and stuff, and then they just didn't support him. And then this year, he's just, yeah.
Well, do those George Horton teams, they kind of piss you off. I mean, it's baseball, so you can't be too upset, but
yes,
it kind of feels like, it kind of feels like Chris Ball. It's like, God, if you just like cared at all about offense, you would have had a very good program there.
Yes.
If you had really one good guy pitching, that hit over five home runs in a season, it's like, fucking come on. Yeah. Don't bunt with one out and a guy on first to get him. It's like, come on.
The year, God, was it 2013, 14? The year that they lost in the Super Regionals to Kent State, because they just would only score two runs a game, and Kent State would scrap together three.
Yeah.
You know, like the Zach Ertz, Dennis Dixon, Alejandro Maldonado, Jordan Bell not blocking out, all that stuff is way more high profile. But, man, that Kent State loss at PK in the Super Regional, really fucking brutal.
That was bad. That was
really bad.
Imagine going against that team, because you know they're pretty, like, they're fundamentally sound. They have good pitching, but you're like, you know what, guys? All we got to get is two or three.
Right, you score five, it's over.
We're probably gonna win. Yeah,
four.
Yeah, if we get five,
yeah. Easy. You score four, maybe the ninth could be dicey if the leadoff man gets on. But five, it's over. It's done.
Speaking of the A's, that's going against the A's this year, by the way. And you get four, you got a W, boys.
But I will say, even though, you know, the Duck baseball team fizzled out again in regionals, and, you know, number one baseball, college baseball fan over here, ping! They were more fun to watch this year. Because the guys
I follow their account hard. Oh yeah,
like they played. Oh, I'm trying to remember. I think it was Saturday. I'm trying to remember. I think they played Louisville. Yeah. I think it was the Louisville game, and Louisville, it was close. And Louisville brought in this left-handed reliever who was just pumping gas, right? And they had guy on second and like one out, and they had a lefty batter up. Horton is 100% bunting him. So they get the guy to third, two outs, which again.
Yeah, which is meaningless.
Which is meaningless, but he's doing it. And this guy, this lefty just takes the biggest fucking hack at his head, pulls the ball somehow, gets a double, but is like 9 inches away from a home run. Just taking a hack, which is great. I appreciate it. I love it. This could bleed into like major league talk where everyone hits a ball and strikes out. Yeah. But it was, as an Oregon baseball, as I said, number one fan, it's refreshing. It was refreshing to see.
I was going to say, like, the difference is it's college baseball. So take your fucking hacks, man.
You have a metal bat.
Yeah, exactly. This is the last time you'll ever get to ping. Like, fucking swing away, dudes. Like, you can hit a fucking pop fly home run at this level. Just swing.
Like
swing the fucking bat. You know,
my oldest kid is 12. And granted, none of his teammates have hit a home run, like, in-game.
But he's a purist, though. He uses
wood bats. But, like, because they have metal bats, like, in practice, or, like, they've done some home run derby stuff.
Right.
They can hit balls over the fence, and it's, like, 312. Because it's a metal bat.
Yes. Like, exactly.
Swing hard! It's a metal
bat!
Swing
away!
Ping!
I said, I feel like we could go out there, you know, take some BP fastballs with a metal bat. And probably run some outs.
Rocking bombs, baby.
The big field.
Yeah. You could bunt and hit a bomb.
Yeah, at my kids' tournament over Memorial Day, they had one game. I think maybe I mentioned this last week. Can't remember where all the other fields
they
were
all
like
blend
three,
together.
Were 320 down the line, and this one was 205 down the lines.
Whoa!
It was the Portland State. Softball field.
Softball. Yeah.
But it was so rainy and shitty that, like, one kid actually almost hit one out. It hit the wall. But if it was like a 65 and clear day, there would have been 210 is whatever it was.
That's their opportunity to actually hit them out.
Absolutely nothing.
That sucks. The weather was bad. All right. A couple more baseball things. Joe Maddon got fired. So, is Joe Maddon still a good manager?
Was he ever?
That's the hard thing. With Tampa, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he... If you talk to a real Cubs fan, they kind of rely on the fact that rain delay won them the World Series.
It's all David Ross, right?
He was coaching them out of that game, and then it started pouring, and they came back, and... After, you know, 2 hour delay in one, but even Cubs fans really aren't.
Like I said, I give that Cub World Series more to Theo than Maddon. Theo brought in all the pieces to win. It was up to Maddon just to not fuck it up pretty much then. He tried, like you're saying, but with Maddon getting fired, I don't care who the manager is. You can't lose 15 straight games and expect to keep your job.
Yeah.
When you have currently right now, I believe Judge is still the favorite to win AL MVP. Second choice is Ohtani. Third is Trout. You can't lose 15 straight with a second and third choice MVPs on your team.
Yep.
I know their pitching is still, and I've said this since we started the podcast again, so 2 years now, their pitching is a joke, and they're never going to be good, even with Trout and Ohtani. So it's not really his fault. But someone's got to take a blame for losing that many in a row. He just can't.
How is Ohtani number two in MVP?
He will always. He's not even pitching that good this year. But
and he's hitting like 240.
It's a huge
Ohtani fan. Love watching him, but he's not as good this year as he was last year.
Nope.
Not even close, really.
Like I said, it doesn't matter. He's a starter and like the three hole hitter. He's going to be. Top five the rest of his career if he still does that. Doesn't matter.
So I guess that's it for Maddon then, right?
Yeah, I'm not a big Maddon fan, so
yeah,
fuck him.
All right. I'm looking forward to the tweet from Mike Buble about his time with the Cubs.
Fuck the Cubs too, while we're at it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Love watching them be sub 500.
The Cubs are happy. Cubs fans are happy right now. They're sub 500. They don't want to win. They don't want to win. They just want to drink that, whatever that beer is that they drink, and
the lovable losers. Can we be the lovable losers again? Come on.
Wait, there's a Cubs specific beer?
Yes. Well, it's a Chicago specific beer.
All right.
I'm trying to remember what it's called.
There's got to be a Cubs specific beer. There has to be. Okay, I figured you'd want to talk about
the Old style beer. Old style. It's
called Old Style.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I figured you'd want to talk about the La Russa intentional walk, right?
Speaking of fuck coaches, managers, fuck La Russa too. God.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what I'm saying is La Russa
get out of baseball.
Yeah, La Russa's a dickhead, so he just gave everybody a reason to remember that he's a dickhead.
That was one of the
amazing
dumbest things I've seen in a long time.
Two strikes on a guy and then you intentionally walk him is amazing. Like, did he have a stroke? Like, what the fuck are you doing?
How many beers did he have pregame is the question.
Like, did you see
what was he blowing at that time?
Locker room, right? Yeah, exactly.
Did you, God, was it Max Muncy? I can't remember who it was.
Muncy hit the home run.
Okay, yeah, so Muncy it wasn't Muncy. It was a guy, who did they walk?
Was it Trey Turner?
Turner, yes. Trey, after Muncy hit the bomb, they're walking back to the dugout. And he was like, that motherfucking piece of shit walked you. 1-2. Fuck that guy.
No, he literally said, fuck that guy. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yep.
It just makes no sense. Either, I mean, walk him to start, or, you know, if you fall behind 3-0, walk him then. Yep. A 1-2 count. They're big league pitchers. They could throw something nasty. Don't throw it, you know, anywhere close to the heart of the plate. And maybe he swings and you get him out that way. But
yeah, you can fool him.
That's why they call it, like, you know, before they had, you know, you just like walked away. It was like the unintentional walk kind of thing. You're pitching around the guy, but you're somewhat in the, you know, around the zone. These big leaguers are swinging at, you know, pitches not even close to them. You might as well. It makes no sense. It's dumb. La Russa is awful. Get him out of baseball.
Exclamation point, period.
Him and Joe Madden can go hit the bars together and just get the fuck out of here for good. Even though Madden's actually a good person, but fuck him. He's not.
He is, yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, he's a good guy. I would hang out with Joe Madden.
Totally.
Yes. But I don't like him because I fucking hate the Rays and I hate the Cubs. So I hate Joe Madden. That's just how it is.
Hate the Rays? I don't know if I've ever heard of anybody who hates the Rays. I guess
the Rays are so fucking annoying. They're so annoying. They invented the opener. Their team should never be good, yet they win 100 games and just fucking annoying. I hate them. Hate them more than the Yankees. Well, not quite. Almost, though. Close.
Yeah, let's not go crazy. Fucking post-game hockey fight.
I love hockey.
You see that shit right now?
Just throwing hands.
You see that shit?
Just throwing hands. Game's over. Let's just throw hands.
Back to blue.
Lightning and the Rangers' whole fucking team fight right after the game ends. That was great.
Yeah, that happens frequently too in the playoffs.
Well, I was gonna say, like, yeah, because you got to wait until the game's over because you're not trying to get a fucking major during the game, and so you wait until the game's over and everybody gets one.
Oh yeah,
that was
especially
awesome.
The game just has to be like a little chippy, like. One kind of suspect hit or one kind of like bush league thing someone does. Yeah, like I said, playoff hockey, it's fucking awesome.
Been fun. I don't know any of the players. I don't know how good any of the teams are, but I have been watching playoff hockey this year.
Oh, the Lightning really need to go away. They're the worst. They're going to win three straight cups.
They're like the Rays. All the teams from Tampa are annoying.
And last year, they, you know, because of COVID rules and salary cap stuff, they stash like their two best players until the playoffs. I think their names are like Kucherov and Kuznetsov. Kucherov, this Kucherov guy, get him out of here.
It's like naming Oregon baseball players right now. Yes. You could be saying anything.
Yeah, the Ning. I know the Ning.
Old Stammer, old Steve Stamkos.
Stammer, I hate the Stammer. Now the Rangers, Vasilevsky. Oh my God, Vaz! this Vaz guy. Get him out of here.
They do have one
dominates
guy, like,
the blue lines.
They do got this kind of big ogre guy named Maroon, who I like, who just likes to fight. And
I just like to say,
shit.
What a Maroon.
He is a Maroon.
Yeah, what a Maroon. Now, the Rangers, I can't name a player.
I'm really trying hard to come up with a Vaz deference.
They got the bread man, Panarin.
Oh, they have Panarin, yeah. Is Eric Lindros still on the back check line?
I think Lindros' son might be checking the blue line.
It's like 20 years ago, dude.
Knowing Lindros' brain, he might still think he's skating at MSG.
He might be a mush brain, that's for sure.
Walking
Wayne Gretzky, Rangers legend.
Legendary.
You know what I realized while watching?
Henrik Lundqvist.
Is that Wayne Gretzky and Joe Biden sound exactly alike. Have you noticed that? Because Gretzky's doing some of the analyst work.
Yeah.
They sound like, pay attention for it. Next time
they have fake teeth that whistle.
They sound exactly alike. It's amazing. Like the cadence, the sound of the voice, it's amazing.
Did you leave
John Van Beesbrook, probably my favorite Ranger.
I was gonna say, did you leave off fucking Captain Ranger and Mark Messier?
Mark Messier is an Oiler. Yeah. In my heart, he's an Oiler. You know, back in 1981, I was really watching the Oilers.
I mean, I do feel they're
this guy's Googling Rangers right now.
My hands are here. I'm not Googling anything.
I think it is the ESPN feed. I think they have Messier and fucking Chris Chelios.
Old Shelly.
That's like our style, like, you know, when we played Gretzky, like mid-90s Gretzky games. It's like, you know, fucking Chelios and fucking Messier out there.
Speaking of Chelios, have you guys seen that 30 for 30 trailer for Red Wings and Avs in the 90s?
Nope.
No, but I bet it's awesome.
Watch it on the break. 30 for 30, Avs, Red Wings. I can't remember what it's called. It is like 2 minutes, and you're like, I'm the biggest fucking hockey fan ever. Claude Lemieux, you are asshole.
Headhunter.
I hate
He's
you.
A fucking headhunter, Lemieux.
Dirty. I am protecting the sanctity of hockey after watching that.
Was that the Patrick Waugh? Like we.
Yes, there were two
goalie fights, right?
Yeah,
goalie fight, yeah.
Some big old fracases. Who is that? Oh, who is the Red Wings goaltender? Was it Lindstrom?
It was either Lindstrom or Dominic Hasek.
I think Hasek hopped in at the end.
Hasek was like Colorado or something, wasn't he? I don't know.
No, he was a Saber.
He was the
goaltender for the what they call it, the skate in the crease or kind of, it rhymed or something. But Brett Hull and the Dallas Stars won a controversial game. In the finals, Stanley Cup finals. What do they call it? Is that what they call it? Whatever.
Yeah.
Big hockey fan
here. The cup finals.
But he was like the foot in the crease goalie. Yeah. For the Sabres. Yeah.
I feel Brett like I. This feels like King just dumped all of his hockey knowledge at once.
What are you talking about? I just dumped some great foot in the
crease. Everything you have ever known about
the crease
just came out.
Skate in the crease.
There's
you
a crease.
You can't put your skate in the crease.
You're not supposed to be in the crease.
Yeah, John Crease over here, you know?
Anyway, playoff hockey this year has been fun.
You want to know what I do miss? Is when you and Rick Nodgers worked at a different place.
Yeah.
And for like 2 months out of the year.
The hockey horns?
The hockey horns.
Yeah, totally.
It's the first time I knew hockey horns were different. I thought they were all the same. They are definitely
not. Are you saying each arena has a different horn?
Different horn.
They do.
Absolutely.
It's a different horn and a different song that they play right after the horn.
It's
ends.
Insane.
Every song, I know, one. But I didn't. I
every
the
horn
were
is different.
Kinda universal.
And they,
yeah,
they
I thought
mix
it was
them
universal
up.
Horn. Yeah.
Yeah. Like sometimes they'll change from year to year as well. And they're always different.
What?
It's amazing.
What? So were you running like a trivia of guess that horn?
No, like, what we would do is like, so while we were doing the radio show, hockey would be happening. And if there was a goal, we would play that team's horn live, right, just as loud as possible. It would completely interrupt everything that
was
going
great
on the show. It was fantastic. And then we give an update.
Tannen is annoying enough that he probably knows like the individual horns from each team.
No,
I could see him being a
No, he would not know it. It was very
much us
researching it and looking him up every year. And by the way, that was way before I started. So that was the tradition, like Ryan Goff. I don't know if you know who he is, but he was a board out there, like it has to be like 15 something years ago now, and he introduced that.
There's no way Preem was doing the hockey horns while he No,
I can neither.
That had to have died.
I can neither confirm nor deny that. Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of Tannen, who we all love.
No offense to him.
Oh, absolutely not.
But that is more effort than he was willing to put into that job. And I get it because he had another one he was doing at the same time that has really worked out for him. So I totally get it.
Speaking of Tannen, who we all love, right? This is not me throwing mud at him at all. Have you guys listened to him in the last like month when he talks Boston Celtics? Specifically Al Horford.
No, what's going on?
Is he hating on Horford?
No, I don't know if it's like a New York, New Jersey thing. He calls him Al Orford.
Orford?
No age?
Oh, yeah, silent
no H.
H, yeah. Is that just like a New York thing?
Yes, that's a regional thing. You don't pronounce the H at the start, yeah. Orford. I heard.
I mean, I can't imagine the people in Worcester and whatever they're definitely Hawford. Pronouncing the H.
You'd say Al Hawford.
Oh, it's a hard H. Though.
Al
hard.
Hawford.
It's,
Is Tannen a big hockey fan then? Is it
I don't know. That's why.
Or is it just names?
Yeah. It's just Horford.
I don't know. He says San Fran. And so,
well, he does that Frisco. He does that to poke the bear. He knows.
Sure does. Sure does, motherfucker. both Rogers and I are from there.
Yeah.
And it would just, it's like fucking grading a chalkboard, man.
San Fran and Frisco. Boy, this is bad. It just sounds bad.
It doesn't sound good. It's horrible. Everybody from there hates it. Don't say it. Well, you got to bring up old traumas, man.
Al Orford. Foxwoods Casino.
Seriously, Horford. Horford is a way. Horford is one of those words that's like a way into the Boston accent. You know, like we were talking about that last week.
Sure. They say that with a hard H calling him a hard R.
Might have been some hard R's dropped last night at TD. There might have been multiple.
That's what Clay Thompson said. He said they're jerks.
You know, like the thing I noticed after that game, you know, we're talking about like the Boston fans making like hurting the Warriors players' feelings. The thing I noticed, it occurred to me how fucking soft the Warriors were. Like in a matter of one game and like a half an hour after the game, you sort of realize why Boston is up 2-1. You know, like the Warriors are soft.
The Warriors are soft, like off the court, yes. But they're just small.
Yeah.
They're tiny compared to Boston. Like they are small.
They're getting pushed around.
They're getting bullied.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think I picked Celtics in six. You know, that's kind of a cop out because I don't see Boston winning a game seven and San Francisco, whatever. But I think Boston's going to win. I haven't really seen much that takes me away from that point. Have you guys? Even before their post-game, Clay Thompson is like one of the coolest guys in the NBA. And he's like, oh, I thought Boston fans were way to be so classy, said the F word in front of kids. Really, Clay?
Come on, man.
Really? And he's on like the bad end of one of those clips where when LeBron said that Draymond called him a bitch. He's like, his feelings just got hurt. This is a grown man's league, blah, blah, blah. His feelings got hurt. And then they blew a 3-1 lead. But whatever. Come on, Clay. You're cool. Don't do that. I expect it from Draymond, right?
Oh, yeah.
Totally. And he's WWE wrestler. It's, you know, it's kind of a game for him. But come on, Clay. Be better. Be better.
The podcast thing was just stupid as hell to me. He probably actually is distracted by the podcast. You know, he's probably saying things he probably shouldn't say. I don't know. I don't listen to the podcast. Why the fuck would anybody listen to that podcast? But he probably says stuff he shouldn't be saying on there where it's a legitimate question, like from the journalist. Like, do you feel like maybe you should be careful? Do you feel like maybe you're giving away things on the podcast? You're trying to make up a story. Like, no. If you're doing a podcast while the NBA finals are happening and you're talking about playing in the games, that's a legit question. Like, maybe you should not do that while the NBA finals are happening.
The whole point is, you know, Clay brings that up.
You need the money from the podcast? I can tell you, podcasts don't make any money.
But you think Boston fans just aren't going to absolutely bury him next game now?
Honestly, after him coming out and saying this? Tomorrow night is going to be awesome.
Oh, they're going to be.
I'm thinking about skipping my softball game to watch that game just because of the crowd.
But I do agree with you, King. I think the Celtics are really a bad matchup for the Warriors. Celtics are bigger, more physical. The problem is the Warriors don't have any bigs.
None.
I mean, Looney plays out there some, but
come on,
that's not going to do anything against Horford.
Orford.
In Williams. I mean, Moffitt. Williams is a problem. Williams is a problem out there.
And he's not even fully healthy.
Yeah.
No. Time Lord is a problem.
The Time Lord is a problem. The thing with the Warriors is, because, you know, I did listen to some stuff. It was kind of nerdy basketball stuff. Where they were talking about how Steve Kerr and them, you know, like, the thing in the NBA now for the last, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, it's to set a screen so you can hunt out the bad defender who switches, right?
Yeah.
And because Steve Kerr knows Steph isn't a good defender, Clay is not a good defender anymore, Jordan Poole is one of the worst defenders you've ever seen, they don't switch. They fight through the screens, blah, blah, blah.
They try to chase, yeah.
But there's been big stretches in all of the games where, just because it's basketball, you know, they do switch and they just hunt the bad defenders from the Warriors. And that's the biggest thing, is because Clay, you know, in 2019, it was between him and Kawhi, who's the best two-way player in the league, right? Which was weird because it was probably LeBron, but whatever. Like, whatever.
Any argument, it's the answer is probably LeBron. The answer is the correct LeBron. Answer, but
whatever.
But saying LeBron for everything is boring. Yeah.
Exactly. But Clay was an elite defender. We all know that. But they are going at him. And he's like one of the only guys with size. I just don't see. And that's the thing about the Warriors, is I can say I don't see how they win the series, but the Warriors can still catch on such a heater with Clay.
Like they did in the third quarter there.
Exactly. Clay and
usually
Steph,
that means
where
wins, right?
They can just erase, you know, 35 minutes of bullshit in 5 minutes because they just hit 6 out of 7 threes in 5 minutes. It's crazy to watch. It's insane.
We probably
don't think they can do it. I just don't think you're going to do it this series.
Well, that's we probably should have seen this. Like, we watched the Warriors just walk their way into the finals, which got us all like, oh, okay, nobody's touching the Warriors. Like, they just killed Dallas. But then you actually stop to think about it. It's like, well, Dallas is softer than they are, which is saying something.
Yeah. Oh,
and then they didn't have to play Phoenix, which is, you know, the best team they could have played, the biggest challenge by far.
And that would have been by far the worst matchup because Phoenix is long and athletic and big.
Phoenix probably would have beat them. Yeah. But, and then they had to go against, you know, Morant was hurt for like half of that series before that. So it's like, their resume getting into the finals is not great. And we probably should have noticed that and been like, you know, the Celtics are actually pretty fucking physical. And
the Celtics run through the playoffs was so much more impressive because all the net slander I can give, because I think Kyrie's a flake, whatever, Tatum bodied KD that entire series.
Yeah.
Just crazy blocks, one-on-one. And then the second round, defending champs, Bucks, Giannis. Yes, there was no Chris Middleton. Maybe if there's Chris Middleton, the Bucks win. But there wasn't. But Giannis was still good enough. He was putting up, he had like three games in like the mid, efficiently scoring in the mid-40s. And the Bucks won. And they just faced a harder path. And then the Eastern Conference, we all can watch the Heat and appreciate like Jimmy Butler, right? Like he's had some legendary playoff games, but he's like 6'6". it's a little different.
I think that Heat series is what kind of got people off the Celtics for how good they are, because that Heat, whoever they play, is just going to make it a fucking slog fest.
Yes,
just mud it up, because they're not good enough offensively, so they got to mud the game up and make it a defensive game.
And I think
everyone saw like, oh god, these series are awful. It's like they're scoring 90 points maybe a lot of these games. It's like the Golden State's going to score 120 and just roll them easily.
And it was awful series to watch.
it was terrible. Unwatchable.
It was unwatchable.
Like all of, but it makes you
it made you forget, like, oh, they're gonna have Marcus Smart guarding Steph. That's a little bit of a problem. And then on the reverse side, the Celtics aren't, if Marcus Smart scores 20 points,
I know,
there's no way they're gonna lose. He was just taking Steph down to the post and was scoring at will there. I know Steph had two fouls, probably playing a little lighter, but not that much. That's there all the time.
It is wild how we're talking about this, because Steph is, you know, without question, one of the best players in the history of the sport. But he is getting on both sides of the ball. He is getting, you know, not dominated is the wrong word, but he's getting bodied up. He's getting out physicaled. And Marcus Smart,
it's always been that though.
Marcus Smart, but it was, of all people.
But it was different when like LeBron was the one who had the little like meme where he looked back at him and kind of sneered in the finals. Yeah. LeBron's going to body you. Get it. Marcus Smart, it does make sense. Like it perfectly maps out,
but
it feels, it's not quite the same as when LeBron is bodying you.
Well, this Warriors team feels, I mean, not having KD. KD's a 6'11 guy that could guard everyone on the court. I'm trying to remember who their bigs were when their first championships.
It was Bogut.
Bogut. All right. So yeah. So they, I mean, Bogut was not
Festus
great.
Festus Ezeli.
Festus, yeah.
Yeah. They have like, what was that guy's name?
You know what? Durant was their big man. Remember how Durant would, and you know, he still does this, but remember when he was with them, they would just give the ball to Durant. It didn't matter who was guarding him. He's 6'11". He would get a shot over them and he would make it. Like it was easy. Whenever they needed a bucket, they would just go to Durant. And they're
not even
like the Celtics are making them work their asses off, and they didn't have to do that back then.
See, I don't even see them from, you take Durant all, you know, he could have 0 points, but you put him on that team purely to play defense. That adds a huge dimension
because they does. Everything. They're bad on defense now.
And Draymond, I mean, Draymond's a clown. We all say that. He's
worthless.
He's not as good as he was four years ago. He's just not. No. And he's not big enough to battle Time Lord and Horford. He's not.
The attitude and the shit talking does not match the game anymore, man.
No,
like you got to make adjustments. Like we know this, as you get older, you got to make adjustments. Draymond's not making adjustments.
But even like Clay, we all understand. You know, we've said it before. Two injuries, catastrophic. Yeah. He came back
big ones. I totally get why.
Totally get it. Yeah. But even like Steph, man, you just watch him, and he can still get on a heater. He could win this game. He could win this series with two 45-point games. He could totally still do it. He just looks different, though. like it used to be when he would run around a screen or kind of dribble off a guy, the separation just isn't quite the same.
Energy's not there either.
He's still amazing. It's not what I'm saying, but you can see like a real.
He was floating.
Degradation of his game.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's floating before.
I don't know if it's age, if it's just some compounding injuries finally, you know, making him lose that little bit of step. I don't know what it is, but like, I agree. He has lost that little bit, that separation. He lost that half a step separation.
We're gonna get that Chris Paul quad injury after this series is over.
He has an injury going right now.
He has a foot injury. Yeah.
It's like bottom line, like, oh, Steph says he's good to go game four. It's there, don't worry.
And there's just a thing where, like, even like this year, you know, the Lakers were absolute dog shit. But LeBron, you know, he finished what, like 16 points away from leading the league in scoring, right?
Yeah.
But best statistical year ever, I think.
Right. But if you watched LeBron this year, was he as good as he was in 2020 or 2018? Of course. I mean, he wasn't. And that's what I'm saying with Steph is they're both still fucking great.
Hey,
but you can see how Steph is. It's just not the same. It just isn't.
As Blazer fans, should we be extremely worried for Damian Lillard? I mean, if Damian loses that half a step that he currently has, it could be rough out there for him.
If he can't
separate to get those threes.
I'm willing to believe the propaganda. I'm saying I could be 1,000% wrong. I'm willing to believe the propaganda that his, like, sternum or whatever the fuck it was, abs, should have had surgery, you know, in the 2020 season. They just played through it. So I will look at that through that prism. But if it's not true and he does lose a step at his size, he is a wildly different player.
But, I mean, he hits the ground a lot going to the rack.
Which I hate. He is going to
be losing that step in the next 3 years no matter what.
Yes, that's true.
His age is going to get him. So it's going to be that problem with Blazers because – If they want to extend him, get him a new contract here when his deal's done.
Oh, he's not there. He won't be in Portland when they extend that contract.
I thought you were going to say should
Blazer Jeremy fans Grant be worried? ain't saving that shit.
I thought you were going to say should Blazer fans be worried because he's going to end up in Oakland playing for the Warriors, which by the way they're not in Oakland anymore. But he's from there, so.
That's it.
There's a chance, but. I don't know. It could be one of those to where, you know, Blazer fans would never like it and admit it, that it could be a good thing that Dame could be gone in 3 years if he does start sliding. Because those kind of players can torpedo a franchise. Absolutely torpedo one.
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, torpedoing franchises.
Torpedoing.
We're seeing Harden possibly lose a step here now too. What we saw, if this is him now, what we saw in the playoffs, torpedoing another franchise right there as well.
The Westbrook thing is insane because the Lakers weren't winning a title this year because AD was just shattered, whatever. But if I were to tell you instead of Russell Westbrook, the Lakers had Buddy Hield and was like, and be like, oh, they're the fifth seed, you'd be like, you're an idiot. But it's true. It's true. Like Buddy Hield is so much better right now than Russell Westbrook, were that kind of a, you know, like you're saying, the guy who's just slowly getting worse can torpedo everything.
Especially with some of these contracts these guys get, that gets them into their mid-30s there. Yeah. Kills a franchise.
Yeah, it's a killer. What's funny is when people are like, LeBron's a contract killer. And I'm like, well, I mean, maybe, but is there a franchise in the league that wouldn't take LeBron for $40 million?
Anybody not want LeBron?
I think the Warriors might want him right now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. LeBron could play into his mid-40s, late-40s, and he still would not hit a team because he would actually adjust.
Yeah.
He's that kind of player. These guys like Westbrook, they will never adjust.
He's gonna get that Jordan fadeaway, baby.
Yeah.
Back you down, shoot 15-foot fadeaways all game long, score 35.
You take some of the athleticism away from LeBron. He's still like a 6'8", 6'9", guy that can shoot.
Yeah.
So good luck with that.
On a hard pivot, have you guys seen any of the sporting news college football lists from today?
I have not seen the list. I was about to bring up the C.J. Stroud Bentley contract.
Which, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I was going to bring up with how it parallels the Billy Joe Hobert situation. So if if you'll remember, at Washington, Billy Camaro. Joe Hobert got $50,000 for a car and some guns. Meanwhile, C.J. Stroud just got an NIL deal that gave him a lease for a Bentley. Not even the Bentley, a lease for a Bentley that he can just trade in for any car he wants if he wants to later on.
What cracks me up about Wild. Some of these like player college football player like car deals,
yeah,
is how often are they actually driving? Like if you have a Bentley, you're driving everywhere. I totally get it.
Absolutely.
But, like, how many of these players, whether it's Eugene, Oregon, Columbus, Ohio, Iowa City, Iowa, Gainesville, Florida, Lubbock, Texas, whatever, how many of these football players live, like, a seven-minute walk away from the facility?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they live – the dorms
you
are
still roll
part
that,
of the facility.
You still drive that Bentley.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
By the way,
economy with $6
economy?
Shit, come on.
By the way, why are they agreeing to lease deals? Like, because I understand why the car dealership is doing that is because the kid could get the car and then leave. But if I'm the kid, I want to get the car and then leave.
Like, I think it's a tax thing.
That's true. And by the way, how do you insure a Bentley as a 20-year-old?
I think it was that. Was it Quinn Ewers? I can't remember. I think it was Quinn Ewers, guy who left high school early last year to go to Ohio State,
right.
And now he's at Texas.
Right.
And he went and got like an $80,000 truck, but he leased it because if he bought it outright, the taxes were completely different. And he knew he was only going there for 6 months and then going back to Texas because Texas, land of the free and a small government, blah, 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 doesn't allow high school kids to get NIL deals. Way to go, Ted Cruz. Greg Abbott. Uvalde.
If you are a college student and you are gifted a $75,000 car or more, that affects your life significantly in terms of the government and what they expect from you as a result of that. So, yeah. Bo Nix getting in on that Topps NIL deal. Do you see that, too?
Did
okay. I don't really give a shit. What's your list thing?
Don Russ is better anyway.
Well, while we're on the Ducks here, do you see Dior Johnson decommitting from Oregon?
Not a surprise.
No, not with Will. If Will doesn't come back, does he stay? You think?
Because they got the two. They got the guard from South Carolina and the guard from totally blanket. They got the.
Okay.
The guy from South Carolina, and they got another guard from wherever, and then Will came back. Whether he's academically ineligible or whatever, because he's gone to like 19 high schools, it did not behoove a guy who wants to be a one and done to come play for a school with the returning point guard and two other like fifth year point guards who have averaged 14 points a game. That didn't behoove him.
No, but it was 100% Will coming back because that's a lot of minutes.
That was
ate into him.
He had no chance. Yeah, it was. Yeah, no reason for him to stay in Oregon. But
it's a combo. I'm just gonna blame Will for everything because if he makes a decision early to come back, then Dana probably doesn't go and get one of those guards, and then Dior probably sticks around then too.
Eh, he's got mono brain. Give him a break. Long mono.
I think I have fucking mono brain right now.
Yeah.
What's your list thing before we get to our list thing?
Oh God, yeah, our list. Boy, I'm real prepared for that. Yeah. So the sporting news came out with two lists in the last day or so. College football coaching rankings. and odds to win the Pac-12 this year. Which ones do we want to start off on?
Let's go Pac-12, because I want to see if they have the Ducks fourth instead of just
no. Third. Let's go coaches, because I think coaches is going to be a shorter conversation.
Okay. Give me your top five Pac-12 coaches you think are ranked. Top five Pac-12 coaches.
How I think they ranked them.
Yes.
Okay.
Or how you would rank them, whatever.
How I would rank them, it's fucking Whittingham, number one.
One, for sure.
David Shaw?
Yeah, Shaw. Shaw would be three.
Make a bowl game, David Shaw.
I know.
Jeez,
that's
been a minute.
Tough.
Man.
Jonathan Smith, four.
Chip Kelly. Then, I don't know.
Who would be number one?
A new guy.
No, well, the new guy is probably number one.
Yeah.
So Lincoln Riley's number one, right?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here with that.
Whittingham should be one.
Whittingham should easily be one, without question.
Is he at least two?
So here's the Sporting News' top coaches rankings in the nation. Number seven, Lincoln Riley. Number 10, Kyle Whittingham. Number 31, David Shaw. Number 34, Herm Edwards.
Wow. Fucking wow.
Number 38.
That is fucking embarrassing.
Number 38.
Did not come into my mind at all.
Chip Kelly. Number 48. Dan Lanning.
Wow. Never coached a game. That's interesting. Yeah.
So Smith, Wilcox, Durrell, Fish, Dickert, all below. Dan
what
Lanning.
A fucking joke that is. The Herm Edwards pick?
Herm Edwards?
Wow.
I'd have no idea about Dan Lanning. I'd put him ahead of Herm Edwards. No questions asked.
Put Jonathan Smith ahead of him. I put Justin Wilcox ahead of him.
And what's insane about this, like, I read some of these lists, like coaching lists.
But whoever,
and I'm like,
whoever
I'll give it some of the benefit
Washington
of the doubt.
State? Like, I don't know.
Because, you know.
Where was DeBoer at?
Yeah,
where's DeBoer?
Kalen DeBoer, Wilcox was number 60, and DeBoer was 61. Dickert, last in the conference, number 77 in the nation. Jed Fish, number 69. Nice.
Very nice. Hashtag.
Yeah. But these lists are dumb because they have to include, like, recruiting, I guess. I don't know. Because how the hell is Dan Lanning...
Yeah.
He hasn't coached a game.
Should he not be dead last with the other coaches that have never coached a game?
You would think so?
Yeah.
You know, we talked about the radio time earlier. This was a radio thing. Is lists dumb fucking
listicles.
Lists
love the list.
Summer.
It's big
summer
thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But usually you wait until after the playoffs and the finals are over. Like, we're doing this right now during NHL and NBA, man. Like, what are you doing?
Lists are dumb. By the way, listen for five more minutes until we give our top three.
Yeah, we get our. That's why we do the list, though. That's the whole point, is because it's a dumb, stupid fucking list, making fun of these dumb, stupid fucking lists.
So the second thing they had.
Shit, did I just spell that out? My bad.
The odds to win the Pac-12 this year. And I'll go from bottom to top. 500-1, Arizona. Okay, well, who do you think are the top two favorites to win the Pac-12?
USC Utah.
USC and Oregon, probably.
Okay. So 500-1, Arizona. 400-1, Colorado. 75-1, Cal. 60-1, Stanford. David Shaw, you're done.
I'd put Arizona
40-1,
higher, by the way.
Wazoo. 35-1, Oregon State. 25-1, the number 31 coach in the nation. Herm Edwards and the Arizona State Sun Devils.
Why?
I don't know.
What?
18-1, Washington. 15-2, UCLA. Second best odds, tied for the second best odds at 2-1, Utah. Best odds, 2-1, tied. USC, Oregon, 3-1.
I would put Arizona higher. I don't know what the hell they're seeing in Arizona State. What do they know that we don't know? They just lost all their coaches and their players. What am I missing?
I don't even know who their quarterback is.
Nobody does.
Their quarterback is now at LSU, who I don't think was very good anyway. What was his name? Jaden Daniels? Good on you, Mario Cristobal, for getting kicked out of the CFP for losing to Jaden fucking Daniels in like last week of November. Fuck you.
Yeah. Mario. I'm a little confused about the Beavers odds there. And U-Dubs. I mean,
U-Dubs seems a little high.
Yeah.
Oregon State, honestly, that sounds about right. Like middle towards the top. I could see that.
Yeah, but there's a big discrepancy of 35-1 and 500-1. Are they
165
plus better than Arizona? No, they're not.
That's a good point.
That's the only thing I got is like, Arizona could be really, really bad.
They could be really, really bad, or they could win like six games. I could easily see that happening. Yeah. I don't know, man. Lists are dumb. You want to get to our list?
Lists.
Before we get to the list, we should actually talk about the thing that the list is about.
No. So,
no? Or we just do the list and then talk about it as we go on? Okay, that's cool. What's our list, probably. Ski? You came up with
all
the
list. So, with the inaugural Live tour starting today in London, somewhere over in the UK, I think.
Sounds about right.
We're gonna do our top three golfers we would want to see on the Live Tour.
Do you know why it's called the Live Tour? Do you know where the name
something,
comes from?
It's the Roman numeral for
it. Is the Roman numeral for 54? And 54 is the score you get if you birdie every hole. Apparently, it's yeah.
Well, yeah.
So. This league is something else. Okay, so top three. So, like,
Liv Tyler.
This is our. We're trying to come up with funny names.
Top three libs.
Hey,
top three libs.
Liv Cowherd.
Number three and two, right there.
I'm watching wrestling right now. Liv Morgan's on, baby. Anybody else? No, yeah. Just me. Okay.
So
Super Bowl LIV. Yeah. Sorry, Alex.
Right. Wait, what did you say?
Super Bowl LIV.
Yeah, well, you got to bring up old shit.
All right, yeah, so the only rule for your golfer is he has to be living, I guess, is kind of it.
He has to be living? All right.
He has to be living.
Couple of mine, I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, one of mine, I'm not sure also. So.
All right, you start. What's your three?
All right, my number three is the walrus, Craig Stadler.
The Stads.
Love that.
Stads. His big gut and fucking mustache out there bombing balls for three rounds because that's all they play.
I feel like his lifestyle would fit the Saudi prince lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like getting catered to, just
not moving around as much.
Got a trough of beer next to him, like whatever he wants. You know what I mean? I could see that guy is a big like shrimp cocktail fan. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like I could see him killing a lot of shrimp cocktails. I don't know why. Probably because he looks like a walrus. I don't know.
Hey, shrimp cocktails are fucking delicious.
They are. Every single time. Got any hot shrimp cocktail takes, King?
You guys eat the tails on shrimp.
That's crazy. People do that. I've seen it. It's crazy.
If they're deep fried, I would maybe munch on it, but not just like.
I have accidentally and like regretted it. It wasn't terrible when it's fried. Like it has to be fried. Yeah. If I eat it when it's a fucking like cold one, that's no thanks. What's your three, man? My number three is.
He's looking.
My number three. I don't know if he's still alive, but his name is Dick Mast. And I feel like if you have 17 golfers out there in this tour, ESPN's going to have to say the name Dick Mast a lot.
A lot.
I would like for that to happen.
You said ESPN. This is only being shown on YouTube, by the way.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right.
That's the only way. I don't know if ESPN... Because I think they have a deal with the PGA. I don't know if they are actually showing
so I'll any like, I'll like live the, action. All the Twitch streamers who are talking about this tour, they're going to have to say Dick Mast a lot. They're going to violate the Twitch terms of services or whatever. They're going to get in trouble.
Get booted off Twitch.
There you go.
Well, right. You know, because, you know, in deference of the Saudis running the tour, I think my number three is Hell Irwin.
Another vast deference reference on this podcast. Okay, what's your two?
My number two is just a guy that would take the money and just have a good time out there. And that's Miguel Angel Jimenez. You get paid in a lot of cigars, drink his alcohol, whatever he's drinking out, his cocktail of choice, and go make his minimum $125,000 for dead last place. And won't give a shit.
Doesn't even care.
Does not care.
He's getting paid.
Yeah, which is probably about what half this field 100%. Only cares about.
100%. I mean, Phil Mickelson made that abundantly clear. Well, he came out against human rights violations, and then they're like, "Oh, you're going to offer me how much money to play on this tour? Oh man, you know, I feel like we're doing we're moving to the future, and we're going to be able to do a lot of good here." Fuck you.
I never heard how much money they gave DJ. $200 million.
$200 million. Yeah.
He could have gotten $400 million, Phil.
Yeah. No. He might have. I don't know how much.
Phil. Yeah. Got. I never say? Heard an amount that. Yeah. No. And they said they offered Tiger high nine figures.
Ooh.
So that could have been $800 million that they could have offered him to be on it. That's and amazing. Honestly, I think even though Tiger is a non-factor in competing really anymore, I think, but if he would have signed on, that might have ended the PGA.
Yeah, boy, so golf sounds really strong.
Dustin Johnson is right? the Super only one strong. Who actually left the PGA so far. Like the other ones got suspended for it.
No, there are a few others.
We'll see what happens with Patrick Reed and DeChambeau, who right. I believe are signing on now.
Right. All right, my two is Chichi Rodriguez.
Chichi. Again, don't know if he's still living or not. But.
Nope. Make a putt, do the fucking sword thing with the club. I think that'd be perfect. Chai Rodriguez. Let's go. Bet you listeners forgot about him until I just mentioned him, huh? And now you're like, oh, now yeah! It's the golden years of golf, man.
I couldn't tell you if he was actually good at golf. I don't know, ever won a major or anything like that. I just know when he putted, he Zorro'd up his putter to, that's all I know.
The coolest shit ever, man.
My number two, Ernie Hels.
In the theme was, with these names here.
Yeah.
What?
If he was actually a little bit better now and a little younger, he might be on this tour.
It's part of Greg Norman's
cabinet.
I don't know what you call that.
All right. My number one player I would love to see on the LIV tour is a player that probably gets paid his tournament wages in Copenhagen, and that is David Duval.
Yeah. Oakleys and Cha.
Oh yeah.
Perfect. Just chewing and spitting on the fucking course.
And he seems perfect because he was a name. I think he was world number one for
he was huge.
A decent amount of time there. So that seems fitting for the LIV tour.
Now my number one, I debated. So I was gonna go John Daly.
That's sort of
the obvious choice, right? John Daly. But then I thought, what would be funnier? And I came up with Fuzzy Zeller.
racist Fuzzy would dominate on this tour.
And I think we know why. Yeah.
I thought you were gonna say John Daly's kid would be fitting too. But.
That would be good. Bring them both on.
No, but Fuzzy is definitely in the cabinet of Greg Norman there with the
Fuzzy
Saudis.
in the meeting with the Saudi prince. Would like to see how that goes.
It might like to be. It might sound a lot like our Hot Shots Part 2 when we were in our movie podcast. he might be saying a lot of things they used in that movie when talking to the Seven Prince.
Yep. Yeah. Hillary Rodham Hussein.
Yep.
All right, what's your one, dude?
My number one, Ben Helgen. I mean, I was going to say the Canadian Ben Saw, but Bone Saw, but whatever.
Try to work it in there. But
try to, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Hogan's been dead for like 40 years, too, but
all right. Whatever.
Eh. It's all right. It's all right.
Are all of my golfers dead?
Possibly.
Like Dick, we got Dick Mast, Fuzzy Zeller, and Chichi Rodriguez. I think they all might be dead.
Chichi's alive. I looked it up. He's like 94.
Oh, wow. Good for him. I bet he's sitting in the fucking retirement home, just like got a club on him all the time, just poking.
Probably doing that with his dick now. Now in the retirement home. That's what the old guys do, right? They just don't give a shit anymore. And
yep.
Him and Lee Trevino are arguing about La Victoria salsa. New York City.
All right. Good list, everybody. We did it.
Great lists. Great list.